So on Tuesday night at the State of the Union address, it was kind of a huh, what moment. I mean, I thought the Cold War was over.
But after investing in better research and education, we didn't just surpass the Soviets. We unleashed a wave of innovation that created new industries and millions of new jobs. This is our generation's Sputnik moment.
Well, the generation who should have been listening to that, do they even know what Sputnik is? And what was invested in U.S. education in science and math after the Russians put a satellite into orbit and scared the bejesus out of American policymakers and really launched a real offensive in the Cold War? Toby Smith joins us now, Vice President for Policy at the Association of American Universities and co-author of Beyond Sputnik, U.S. Science Policy in the 21st Century. Toby Smith, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's get a sense of what happened after Sputnik. The beeps from space, the sense of Russian missile and space technological superiority, and all of a sudden the government moved into action and made what kinds of investments?
It was quite significant in terms of the response to Sputnik. In fact, we saw the investments in science significantly increase, almost triple over a five-year period, the money that was being put into basic research at the time. You saw an immediate response from President Eisenhower, who appointed for the first time an official science advisor. He asked James Killian, who was then president of MIT, to come to the White House and help to provide him with advice. Shortly after that, the president's official science advisory committee was appointed. And then what's really amazing about that period is the amounts of new agencies and response in that sense, which also increased funding. We created what's known as the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, which
right.
is a
basic research lab.
Yep. It's basically the science center at the Department of Defense, and then NASA emerged in response to Sputnik as well, and Congress did that.
Talk
the
about
was the investment in education.
Right. Let's talk about that. The National Defense Student Loan Act, which
yes.
Actually, when I got a student loan in the 70s to go study math at the University of Chicago, it had a National Defense Student Loan logo right on the top. I was surprised
yep.
that the loan program still existed. How big was that? How many people benefited?
Significant. In fact, the amount of money that went in, it was actually the National Defense Education Act. It
right.
didn't only fund student loans, but it funded scholarships, funded graduate students, even went beyond science. It funded a lot of people to study languages, and also, I should say, supported providing equipment for teachers at the K-12 level, which was very, very helpful. Just in terms of order of magnitude, it was about a billion-dollar investment over a four-year period in education. It really represented the first time the federal government made a major commitment to get involved in education. Prior to that, they had really left that to the states and localities.
So we were going through some of the reaction of our listeners to the speech and to this whole idea of what are we going to do now and reinvesting to make America more competitive and evoking Sputnik. And here's a somewhat cynical question from one of our listeners named Kendall, who writes, I wonder how many times Sputnik has been mentioned in State of the Union addresses or other more than 50-year-old achievements. What are possible substitutes? I mean, the suggestion there is, okay, it gets evoked a lot, but are we really going to do on the scale of what happened after Sputnik? I mean, in many, many measures, the U.S. and educational cooperation on science has eroded. You've got the sort of climate change, political controversies during the Bush administration. The amount of money going into math and science has declined, and the test scores are bad.
Yeah, and I think what Sputnik did was it really brought home people's fears that we were falling behind. It made those palpable. So when they saw Sputnik going over their houses, forced action, or you know, they felt a need to react. And that is one of the challenges we have now, is there's certainly strong competition, more in the vein of economic competition from countries like China and India. So the question is, what is today's Sputnik? And there are people like Craig Barrett, the former CEO of Intel, who have actually warned that it may be worse than the time period of Sputnik, because we don't have that moonshot or you know, that thing that's going to galvanize the American populace around the need to both invest in science, but also the thing that really, you know, Sputnik was unique in that it made science sexy for students. It was cool to be a physicist. And right now, we just don't have that in you know, a lot of students try, they don't go into science at our universities. Many of the students that come here to study at the graduate level, they come from abroad. So we still have very good talent. A lot of those students stay, but in terms of U.S. students actually going into their, those areas, we don't. So there are issues like energy that certainly could be a rallying point in something, but people have different views on that topic.
But what ended the Sputnik moment, Toby Smith? I mean, maybe we can find our way forward by figuring out how we lost that passion and that feeling of competitiveness.
Well, I think the president made a good start in terms of really putting out there the need to invest, the its significance, both to study science as a student and also to invest in those areas in a speech. And that's we need to know. Part of Sputnik was not driven by the event itself. It was driven by the leadership shown by our elected officials, both President Eisenhower at the time, as well as the Congress, who really decided to invest money in these areas.
So talking about Sputnik maybe is less important than the other reference in the speech where the president said we got to teach kids that it's not cool who wins the Super Bowl, but cool who wins the science fair. Maybe that directly relates to what you were just saying, Toby. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Toby Smith is a vice president for policy at the Association of American Universities and the co-author of Beyond Sputnik, U.S. Science Policy in the 21st Century.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.